It's Thanksgiving weekend. Amen. As my boys would tell you, for them it's meant a five-day weekend. They're not really too bothered about why. They just really care that they get a couple of days off school, so they're pretty excited about that. And I think for most of us, we probably would agree. But friends, I want to do something today that you'd probably least expect to hear from me. I'm going to preach on something that's called Thanksgiving. The thing is I've been feeling in God a stirring for a little while just on a few different things. And honestly, the last thing that I thought I would really be wanting to share on and prepare for today was the subject of Thanksgiving. But the more I started digging into this, the more I felt a sense of God just confirming this in my heart. There is something significant in Thanksgiving. And so we're going to just spend a bit of time looking at that today. One of the things that you would discover quickly as a parent, or if you've seen parents, and I'm sure you've even had it growing up, what is the one thing you seem to hear quite often in your early years as a child? And certainly as a parent with two young boys right now, I seem to find myself saying it regularly. They receive a meal, they receive a gift, they receive something, and what do we say? Okay, but what do we have to remind them of? Come on, boys, what do you say? Thank you. And it seems to be this consistent process of reminder. And some of this journey, my wife often encourages me and challenges me on these things of saying, why do we say these things? You know, I read a scripture some time ago in Mark chapter 7 that says, the traditions of man nullify the word of God. We just read in Colossians 2 about the basic principles and the hollow philosophies of this world that take us captive and rob us of what Jesus did for us. And friends, I've been very challenged by that. And over the years, I think my inquisitive mind has just never settled from an early childhood asking the question, why? I don't ask it nearly as much as my children do, but I ask it, why do we do what we do? Why do we do it the way we do it? And so my wife, of course, does the same thing to me and says, so the boys fight with each other and I'll say, come on, you need to apologize to your brother. Say sorry. And of course, sorry. You know the drill. And she'll say to me, how'd that work out for you? How'd that go? And the reality is that, why do we do that? What is that? You see, the thing is there's some traditions that we follow through, and some are just captive traditions that nullify the word of God. But in some things, there is great value. And I've been trying to explore, what is that? Why do we do what we do? Part of this opportunity that we have as a community is partnering with other churches. And so Thanksgiving weekend, Mike and Deborah are out of the church this weekend. And last week we had Ivor up from Trinity. On Tuesday we have the privilege of praying with another church plant. And you see, this thing of Thanksgiving is actually a lot bigger than we perceive it to be. Because as we are thankful towards God, there are things that start to happen. And I'm going to unpack a little bit of that. But before I get into that, I wanted to just read two letters quickly. Mike and Deborah are in Australia right now and are ministering into a number of different churches around Australia. And there have been some incredible prophetic words that have been coming through them for the churches down there. They have been a great blessing. But as we read through the New Testament and we see some of the letters that Paul writes to some of the churches, I can imagine it must take weeks, if not months, for some of these letters to get to their destination. Here we are, the privilege of email. Bang, here it is. But tell me this doesn't sound reminiscent of some of Paul's letters. So I want to read two to you. Our greetings to the saints and the elders at Oceanside Church. Doesn't that sound great New Testament stuff? What an absolute delight to have Mike and Deborah visit with us for the last 2 days. We worked them hard, and they have both represented Jesus and what Oceanside stands for in a wonderful way. Your spiritual journey with this precious couple has been phenomenal, and I would like to commend Oceanside for their grace and generosity of spirit. Thank you for releasing them both, who we see as gifts to the body of Christ. We look forward to building a relationship with you all into the future. There's a thanks to us extended to us. And you know, friends, society would tell us, well, that's the thing we do. And yet I've asked the question, why do we struggle with our kids more than anything else to instill manners in them? Thanks. thanks, thank you, thanks for the dinner, thanks for this, Mom, thanks for that. And you know, I've come to a revelation that thanksgiving or thankfulness or giving thanks, there's something much deeper and something much richer in it. You see, there's actually a huge benefit to us in the journey. And we're going to explore that and unpack a little bit of that this morning. This couple that have just written this, Rudy and Wendy, who lead Liberty Church in Mount Gambier in Australia, in their expression of their thanks, have a significant response from God in the midst of that as well. And you'll see why in a moment. The second letter from Darren and Rebecca. We wanted to send through a quick email to say a massive thanks to you, Oceanside, for releasing Mike and Deborah to come and minister with us here in Australia. They truly have been such a blessing to us as we continue partnering and building His kingdom together. Their ministry both here with us at Kingdom Life Church, along with the combined churches in the rural regions of Balaclava last weekend, was outstanding. Even since leaving here on Wednesday, they have already done another 4 meetings in Mount Gambier and are now ministering in Warrnambool in Victoria. I would encourage you to be praying for them, as we are, for health and strength over the next 2 weeks as they have a really busy schedule connecting and ministering with still another 4 churches. Thanks again to the elders, deacons, and saints of Oceanside. We are praying for you all in your journey with Him. Much love, Darren and Rebecca Prosser from Kingdom Life Church in Adelaide, Australia. It's an amazing thing going on here, isn't there? This kingdom partnership that happens. And here we unpack, well, what's thankfulness got to do with this in the midst of all of this? Both letters of thanks that we receive. Let's unpack this a little bit more. This weekend, we celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada. And as a relatively new Canadian, 6 years down the line, I got here, and this was a foreign concept to me. I'd seen some mention of it in Hollywood, and I don't think that represents it too well. So we won't hold that against Canada, certainly. But I arrived here, and I said, what is this all about? What is Thanksgiving all about? Why do we do this? And I started exploring this. And friends, I don't know if you even realize this, but there's something significant in the history of Thanksgiving in Canada. Here it is. For a few hundred years, Thanksgiving was celebrated, and then in 1879, it was declared a national holiday. We're talking hundreds of years of history here. And then this, on January 31st, 1957, the Canadian Parliament stood up and publicly announced that on the second Monday of every October of every year, Thanksgiving would be this, I quote, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. Wow. Like it or not, we have a whole country this weekend celebrating our Almighty God and thanking Him for a harvest. They may not even realize it, but that, friends, is what this day has been committed to. I don't know about you, but that sends a shiver down my spine when I think on that. That's a remarkable truth, that. And so for me, it raises a question. Why do we give thanks to God? What is this? For a start, I give thanks in response to something received. So it begs the question, what have I received? And I have to start thinking on what have I received? What is it that I am now called to be thankful for? And friends, my encouragement to you is consider that question. What do you have to be thankful for? Firstly. Secondly, this scripture really says in numerous places throughout the Bible, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love and His mercy endures forever. There's a clue to starting that journey of asking that question. Give thanks to the Lord, here it is, for He is good. His love and His mercy endure forever. Friends, that right there is enough. I could sit down right now and just say, period, we're done. But the thing about the kingdom of heaven and the thing about God is that He is so good is that that is just the tip of the iceberg. Because something significant starts to happen in our world and in our lives through the process of thanksgiving. Let's explore this. Have you ever asked the question, I wonder what God's will for my life is? Have you ever had someone ask you that? Friends, I think we spend a lot of time asking that question and wondering often, what is the will of God for my life? And so I've been exploring that, and one of the keys that we discover through this process is understanding the will of God from a perspective I think most of us have never really considered it. Let's see what the Bible says. There's two key answers to the will of God. The first is found in the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know how many of us consider the Lord's Prayer when we consider the question, what is the will of God for my life? Because here it is. Matthew 6 says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a clue here. God's desire is that kingdom's realities, heaven's realities, become earth's realities. The will of God is that the realities of heaven become the realities of earth. And we've got to consider, again, what are the realities of heaven? See, the thing is that not only is that His will, but we've just read in Colossians 2 at the beginning of the service here that the fullness of the deity dwells in Christ, and we have the fullness. We have been given the fullness of Christ. That every power and authority in heaven and earth must bow to. Wow. You know, the thing is this, is that we are God's delegated authority on earth. And that's a phenomenal statement. In Christ, the fullness dwells, and in us, the fullness of Christ dwells. And so when we consider that truth, and when we explore that and unpack that further, it takes great faith, it takes great boldness, and it takes great courage to not only believe that we are His delegated authority on earth, but to actually exercise that authority as well. To live out and practice the authority that is ours in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18 says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You want to know the will of God in Christ Jesus? There it is, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Actually, that's a huge response of our will, because it's action on all three parts on our part. Pray without ceasing, rejoice always, and in everything give thanks. I have to do that. But the will of God is accomplished in me doing that. Isn't that a crazy truth? How does that work out? Well, let's start first of all with what God's will is not, because I think a lot of us get caught in the details. And I like to say we get caught eating with the turkeys, seeing as it's Thanksgiving, rather than soaring with the eagles, because the reality is this. It's not about the choice of whether I'm going to have chicken or beef for lunch. God's interested, but if you're unsure, just take the beef. Okay? Just take the beef. But we also come to Him and say, God, what is your will for my life? Should I be a lawyer? Should I be a doctor? Should I be a pastor? And friends, the reality is I think that God would want us to do a lot more of what we would enjoy doing. Scripture says that as we seek Him, as we delight in Him, He will give us the desires of our hearts. As we delight in Him, we delight ourselves in who He is. We concentrate, we spend time considering who He is, and He gives us the desires of our hearts. And I believe He doesn't only give us the fruit of the desires of our heart, but He physically gives us the desires of our heart. But that's not the will of God. He cares for the details. He's interested in the details. He's involved in the details. But the will of God is that the realities of heaven would become realities on earth. And that's a significant truth. Because as we live this out, praying without ceasing, rejoicing always, giving thanks in everything, somehow we see the will of God being released into the earth today. Psalm 69 verse 30 says that we magnify God with thanksgiving. That's a profound promise. Through the act of my giving thanks, what happens is in my world, God is magnified, which means that everything else is not. No matter what situation, no matter what circumstance, no matter what I find myself up against, when I give thanks to God, He is magnified in my world. Do you see the significance of thanksgiving is much more than as great as it is to just simply acknowledge God for who He is, His majesty, His magnificence, everything about His character. Just giving thanks for that alone is enough. But that it could get better than that, that in the process of my giving thanks, He is magnified in my life, and I bear the fruit of giving thanks to Him. It's a profound truth. You see, in being faithful with the will of God, which it is His will that we rejoice, we pray without ceasing, we give thanks in everything, that very thing in fulfilling the will of God is what opens the door to seeing the will of God, heaven's realities on earth, becoming a real thing. And we start to see heaven's realities expressed in our midst. That is the fruit of thanksgiving. That is the fruit of thankfulness in our lives. I want to conclude with three things. How is it that thanksgiving opens the door to seeing heaven's realities become earth's realities? And the first point is this. Our thankfulness gives us access to the supernatural power of the gospel, which allows us to receive and operate with significant gifts. Thankfulness gives us access to the supernatural power of the gospel, and that allows us to receive and operate in significant gifts. James 1 verse 17 says this, that God gives us every good and perfect gift. He gives us every good and perfect gift for two reasons. Number one, very simple. He loves us and He wants to. Number two, He gives us good gifts so that we can explore them and use them. My little boys in the early days, come first birthday and first Christmas, as a parent, you're very excited for this moment because you get to wrap up a gift for them. And this is a profound moment in the life of a parent. And of course, you spend a lot of time and effort considering what is it we're going to get them, and you wrap it up and you give it to them, and God bless their hearts, they grab a hold of the wrapping paper and they rip at it, and somehow in the middle of the ripping process, the gift falls to the side and they are absolutely captivated and enamored with the gift wrapping. And the gift is of no consideration and value whatsoever. And you kind of go, oh, wow, okay, well, didn't see that one coming. And you kind of think you learn a little bit through this. So you think, okay, I get it. So next time around, you kind of don't spend as much as you would have the previous time on the gift. And yeah, I got you figured now, little guy. You're captivated with the wrapping paper. So that was the cheapest gift I've managed to figure out. But just when you think you've got them figured, suddenly the wrapping paper gets discarded and they get the gift. And now they're captivated with a gift. But you see, you also make the mistake as a parent, because my wife would often say to me, is that for you or for them? Because, you know, that misspent childhood with that little remote control car that you always wanted? Well, there it is. It's out there. Everyone knows now. The reality is that sometimes they just don't appreciate the gift and don't know what to do with it or how to use it. And before the day is up, that gift is broken. It's destroyed. And it was kind of, well, didn't see that one coming. And then before you know it, suddenly now those gifts are starting to mean something. They see the value in the gift. They appreciate the gift. They start to explore the gift. They start to use it and they get out of it what it was meant to do in the first place. And then comes the stage of now they're planning two birthdays in advance what they want. And once you've taken out a loan from your bank to cover the cost of these extravagant gifts that your kids want from you, and you recover from that process, not only are they telling you what they want, but you don't even know what this thing is and how it works. They're telling you how to work this thing. And you know, it's amazing. I read in a book I was reading recently, Bill Johnson makes this quote. He says this, "Thanksgiving agrees with heaven by acknowledging the truth that our lives are a gift from God. Our very lives are a gift from God, and just that act of thanksgiving is amazing. And that He is sovereign over all. God is extravagantly generous, and the life that He has given us to experience on earth is not a life of survival, but it is a life of abundance and blessing. But unless we properly recognize what we've been given, we won't be able to experience that life." There it is. Unless we properly recognize what we've been given, we won't be able to experience that life. That's the reality of receiving a gift. If we don't understand what we've been given, we won't understand its purpose or be able to experience its benefit. Profound, eh? God gives every good and perfect gift for two reasons, because He wants to and He loves us, and two, so that we can explore and use them. So let me repeat point number one. Thankfulness gives us access to the supernatural power of the gospel, which allows us to receive and operate with significant gifts. Friends, you and I, as we have to consider what we're thankful for, as we magnify God in our thanksgiving, we get to see, not only see the gifts that He's given us, but we get to explore and use them, and we become very powerful. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Bible says that we, the church, are a planting for the display of His splendor. You are a planting for the display of God's splendor in your city. What activates that is thanksgiving, thankfulness towards God. And it is the best place on earth to be, is seeing the power of God released through your and my willingness. The second point is this. Thanksgiving positions us to naturally live a life in the miraculous. You know, it's profound for me. Jesus, on a number of occasions, gave thanks. And go and explore the scriptures, how often the fruit of His thankfulness, what followed His thankfulness, was the miraculous being released. He did it with the feeding of the 5,000. He did it with the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus took bread, He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to His disciples. 5 loaves and 5,000 and 7 loaves for 4,000 people. And they had basketfuls of crumbs left over. Friends, our act of thankfulness, our act of giving thanks, releases the supernatural. It releases the miraculous in our lives. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. The third point is this. Thanksgiving is a choice. It's a choice to recognize what God has done. It's a choice to recognize what He is doing. And it's a choice to recognize what He is yet to do. Faith in Hebrews 11:1 is defined as being sure of things hoped for and certain of things we do not yet see. We read in Scripture that God says that He declares things that are not as if they were. He declares things that are not as if they were. Friends, you and I, as God's delegated authority on this earth, get the privilege of doing the same thing, declaring things that are not as though they were. We call it prophecy. We are called to prophesy to one another. The Bible says that with thanksgiving, we enter His gates. We enter His courts with praise. There is something significant that happens the moment we open our mouths with thanksgiving to God. Revelation 12, verse 10 says this, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.'" Three key statements Friends, by the word of our testimony. Testimony defined is do it again, Lord. What is a testimony? It's a declaration. It's an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude of thankfulness that says, look at what God has done. And the incredible part of that is the very process of saying, look at what God has done, thanking Him for what He's done, is the very process of prophesying, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Friends, do not underestimate your testimony, the power of what God has given and has sown through your life and how powerful that is. And the minute you declare what it is He's done through you and you are thankful in that process, you do two things. You magnify Him and you declare over a group of people or a person you're telling the story to, do it again, Lord. It's powerful. It's hugely significant.